Amen. Amen. Yeah, this, you know, I had planned maybe to try to run through Romans 10 and 11, and there was just too much in Romans 10 and 11, so I decided I would try to give the text its due, though some of what we're talking about is things we've talked about. But one of the things we're certain of, and Paul is trying to describe what's going on in his time, in his world, as he is, you know, sharing the gospel from city to city. He goes to a new town, shares with the Jewish people. They get upset and kick him out, and then he would share with the Gentiles. And so he's troubled about the fact that many of the Jews aren't coming to Christ. But he's also trying to explain his environment to the people in Rome and to us. And it's important for us to try to understand our environment. You know, there are reasons why the gospel doesn't always reach people and doesn't always change lives. I think when I first was a Christian and I knew the power of the gospel and the power of the Spirit of Christ to change my life, and I knew that I was called to minister, I was certain that every time I preached that just thousands of people were going to come to Christ. They were going to see it. They were going to get it. And it was going to be like this awesome thing. As soon as they heard about Jesus, as soon as they experienced the presence of God, it was going to change everything for them. And I find that's not really where we are in this world. And our world is getting, I think, you know, worse in the face of the gospel. And Paul's world was rough because Paul loved the Jewish people. He wanted them to come to Christ, and they weren't coming. And he says, you know, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for to God is for Israelites that they might be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they do not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. The idea, and he goes on to explain, if you have your Bibles open, you can look at verses 4 through 7 about, you know, how the work of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, changed our relationship to the law. But he's talking about people, and in our context, the idea of people getting their lives right, of trying to fix themselves. We talked about this when we've talked early in the gospel. How do you go from sin to righteousness? How do you go from a place where you're not doing things right and you want to get better? And he said, these guys are trying to do it in a way that's not going to work. And we've talked about that many times, but it's very important for us to understand that part of the reason why the gospel is so hard for people to get is because they think that they've got another way, or they think that they've got something that's going to work instead of the plan of God. These guys, the Jewish people, they had the law, and the law was from God, and it was perfect as a set of rules, but again, it could not create righteousness. And so Paul just says about them that they want to establish righteousness, but they want to do it on their own terms, on the terms of the law, rather than listening to the plan of God. So we looked at this text. How do we get righteousness? What is right? Where does righteousness come from? And he says, but what does righteousness that is by faith say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. The message of the gospel is about faith. The message of the gospel, that got your attention. That's right. The message of the gospel is about faith in Jesus Christ. It is not about if I do 10 things right, then I'll be okay with God. It's not about the priest. It's not about the sacrament. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. It's not faith in any other object. That would be idolatry. It is about faith in Jesus Christ. That's it. And he says so. He says that the righteousness that we're proclaiming is that if you confess with your mouth, we talked about this last time, I can't talk about this enough. How do you get righteous? You confess with your mouth. You say the same words as Scripture says. You say the thing that God has said. You confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is Kurios. And actually, there's no verb in the original language. That it is, you confess that Kurios Christos, that, you know, Jesus is Lord, that Jesus, Lord, is his name, Yahweh, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The testimony of Scripture is that Jesus is equal to God. The testimony of Scripture is that Jesus has authority over everything, right? We love the picture in Revelation when nobody can fulfill the plan of God, nobody can open that scroll, and there's only one person in all heaven and all earth that has the authority to open that scroll, and it is the Lamb that comes from the midst of the throne, the Lamb that looked as though he was slain, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He has authority. He has power. He is the one we call upon. He's the one we worship. He's the one that saves our lives. We believe in Jesus. If you confess with your mouth, you say the things that God has said. You say them as truth, not say them because you heard somebody else say them. And one of the worst things I think we do sometimes is do that sinner's prayer where we say it, then somebody says it. We say it. It's got to come from them. You can't put the confession, repeat after me. It's not a wedding ceremony. Okay, that's not. Okay. It's not something that you just hear and repeat. You've got to own it. You've got to own it. When you confess, when you say, you know, this is my word, this is my language, I'm saying that Jesus Christ is the name above all names. I'm saying that I believe that he has authority to raise the dead. I believe that Jesus has the authority to confer life. I believe that Jesus is the only way to get to the Father. I believe these things because that's what God has said. But I believe them. I confess them. And I confess them wherever I go, right? So confession. Confession about Jesus Christ. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You believe in your heart. You know, this is, young people have no real concept of death. They hear about it, see about it, but it's not real to us. As we get older, it becomes more real, you know? We've seen it. We've seen it in our parents. You know, they've gone. We feel it as our lives change, as our bodies are telling us, you know, I'm not going to be around forever, you know. Do you believe that? That's when you start to really understand how important it is to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because in his resurrection is tied your resurrection. If Jesus Christ rose from the dead, his promise is that he will raise me up from the dead. And if I really believe in the depth of who I am, that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, then I don't fear what happens to me in this world. I am ready to rise up to the world that's to come. I'm ready to go into the eternal. It's amazing how our society is terrified of death. Our society, we will pay any amount of taxes, any amount of money to the medical community to keep us alive for as long as possible, right? Uh-oh, there it is. Okay. We'll pay all kinds of money. You know, why? Because we're terrified of death. Folks, that's not faith, right? That's not believing in eternity. That's not believing in the kingdom of heaven. That's not believing that Christ rose from the dead and gives us power to rise from the dead. The confession about who Jesus is, the confession, I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That confession says, I also then believe that he will raise me up from the dead. I believe, therefore, in the kingdom of heaven. I believe in life everlasting. I believe that Jesus Christ can confer on me all that blessing and all that truth. So Paul's talking about, you know, these poor Jewish people, they can't get this. He's saying it's not a hard message. It's not a difficult thing. You don't get righteous by doing 10 steps. You don't get righteous by you know, going to church. You get righteous by believing in Jesus Christ. You get righteous by calling on that name, trusting in that name, walking under that name. Excuse me. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. The scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Here, he quotes some Old Testament text, but the main thing he's saying to us in this last bit, when we gather in this space and we worship God together and we pray together, you know, we're calling on the name of the Lord. That's what I hope you're doing, right? I hope that you understand. It's not, this is not just an exercise where we like to play guitars and sing. And it's the idea is a unified heart searching. I am calling on God. I am asking God to look at me. I'm asking God to be with me. I'm asking God to help me. I'm asking God to talk to me. I'm asking God, you know, for his help and strength. In other words, my focus is I am calling on the name of the Lord. It is that activity. It doesn't just happen here. It happens in our homes. It happens in our cars. It happens wherever we go. It, you know, he's alive in us, and we're calling on the name of the Lord. We're seeking him when things are troubling our hearts, when we can't seem to want to even get moving. We need to just call on the name of the Lord and say, God, get me back on my feet, you know? When troubles ahead of us start to scare us, start to worry us, we say, Lord, you know, help me to put this in perspective. Help me to get this straight in my mind and in my heart so I don't sin against you, right? We call upon the Lord constantly. That is the thing that proves that we are walking with God, we're living with God. The message that Paul is trying to put in front of us right here is very simple, is very basic. We've talked about the morality. We've talked about the new life in the Spirit. We've talked about all that the gospel leads to. But here, he's going back to the very foundation of how a person gets saved, how a person gets right with God. It's the idea of confessing in Jesus, believing in his resurrection, and calling on the name of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I know in my life, that's how salvation works. God just put it in my heart. I needed him so bad. I spent, you know, days walking in the woods, just crying out to God, talking to God at my home. I was talking to God. I'd wake up in the morning saying prayers almost before I was awake. I was saying prayers because I knew I needed help. I knew I needed God. And in that, calling on the name of the Lord. And by the way, I haven't stopped doing that. I haven't stopped calling on the name of the Lord. But that's how I became a Christian. God began to work that in me. I began to call upon him. And you know, step by step, he led me closer and closer to him. Calling on the name of the Lord is about a relationship with God. I hope that that's your experience. And I hope, you know, either you're far down that road or somewhere in your life that's happened or is happening. Because if we don't seek God, if we're not calling on him, that means there's nothing there. Right? And Paul's concerned. He's talking about the Jewish people. And he's saying about them, he said, you know, rather than try to call on the name of the Lord, rather than believe in Jesus Christ, right, they're not believing. They're not calling. And they're not becoming righteous. They're not getting saved. They're not following God. They're following their own path. And he's trying to tell us it's so simple, it's so easy, but they have rejected it. They're not doing it. It made him sad. He said, that was my heart's desire, was to see them. And then he talks about the mission. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This text basically tells us God's purpose for doing this kind of thing. God's purpose for having food programs where we preach the gospel. God's purpose for having VBSs where we share the gospel. God's purpose for doing anything we do where we get an opportunity to share the gospel, because otherwise there's no way for them to begin to confess who Jesus is. There's no way for them to believe in the resurrection. There's no way for them to call upon the name of the Lord because they haven't heard about him. They haven't been encouraged to do that. They haven't been asked. They haven't been told. And so he goes through this little paradigm. He says, you know, there's no way they're going to call on someone they don't believe in. How are you going to call on? You know, why do you call on the name of the Lord? You ever think about that? You ever, you know, do I have faith? And then you think, well, how often do I talk to God by myself? How often do I when something happens, I'm talking to God, right? I talk to God before I talk to anybody else, right? Because that says I believe in God. The fact that I'm trying to talk to him, that I'm trying to look for his help and his strength all the way through. But if you don't believe in God, you're not going to call upon him. If you don't call upon him, you're not going to be saved. And Paul says, so Paul's talking about, you know, the idea how important it is for someone to go out and preach, for someone to go out and tell them, for someone to go out and say, do you understand who Jesus is? Do you understand what Jesus has done? Do you understand that God didn't make it hard for you to get right? God made it real easy for you to get right. There's no excuse. It's too easy. It's too easy. God has made it so easy. What do you have to do? I have to confess in who Jesus is. I have to believe in what he's done, that he rose from the dead, and I have to call on the name of the Lord. That's what I have to do in order to be saved, right? Right? And you know, so we need someone to tell us about those things. Paul did it, you know, and I think about this, and I'm thinking about him going from town to town, preaching the good news, and you know, we know the story, right? He preached the good news in Lystra. They wanted to kill him. Preached it in Thessalonica. They chased him out of two towns following that. They chased him out of Thessalonica, and then they chased him out of Berea, right? He understood, you know, but he said, you know what? I still need to go, because if I don't go, if I don't share, if I don't speak, they'll never understand. They'll never believe. They'll never call upon his name, and they can never get saved. They need to hear the word. They need to hear the word. You know, our church is called the Evangelical Church, a name that's getting very confused these days. It used to mean people that did just that, people who stood up for Jesus Christ and proclaimed Jesus Christ and made sure that every time they met, somebody heard about Jesus, right? It's now become a very confused group of people. They don't know what they stand for, and they're on very shaky ground. So much so that some of our leaders, like David Wells, says, I'm not sure what exactly to call myself anymore, because the titles don't fit who we are. But this is what the apostle did. The apostle, in the face of people, this is not like I went, and every time I went and I preached, and you know, everybody got saved, right? We're talking about the apostle Paul. He had all the gifts, all the power, all that authority, and he'd go to places and you know, they didn't all believe. They kicked him out of town. They chased him down. They tried to kill him, right? And so he writes this. He says, yet, you know what? Somebody's still got to preach. Someone's still got to go. Someone's still got to stand in that city. Someone's still got to stand and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, because if they don't hear it, they can't believe it. If they don't believe it, they can't confess it, and they'll never call on the name of the Lord, and they'll never be saved. He's telling us, you know, we do have a mission. Then he tries to understand his people. He says, but not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Ha! Right? Not everybody gets it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. Oh boy, we could go on for that, couldn't we? The word of God. The truth of God. Not what I want the truth to be, not what a committee decides the truth is, but the truth of God. I put the text, a little bit of the text from Isaiah there, because it is amazing that he quotes this text talking about, Lord, who has believed our message? That is the first line in the suffering servant about Jesus Christ, who, you know, if you read that text, you cannot come out with any other, you know, conclusion but that this text is about Jesus Christ. This text is about our Savior who was a sacrifice, our Savior who was crucified, our Savior who died and covered our sins. And I'm sure that Paul used that text when he was preaching to the Jews and he was trying to explain from the Old Testament who Jesus is. But the first line of that text prophesies that people aren't going to listen, that people aren't going to get it. They're going to be those who just don't get the gospel. And this especially talking about the Jewish people. He talked about how, you know, God knew. Even before, I don't know if you know about Isaiah even, Isaiah was called to go out and speak to a people, and he said they're going to hear but not understand. They're going to see but not perceive. In other words, he said, they're not going to get your message, Isaiah. Now go. And he went. He went to a people that just were, they were not going to listen to the truth that he gave them. Paul standing, talking about the same idea that these people were not going to understand. They weren't going to get it, even though the message was old. He then quotes several Old Testament texts, starting with Psalm 19. Psalm 19 tells us that, you know, there's general revelation and special revelation. Psalm 19 says, God's voice has gone throughout the world. People have heard the message. They know there is a God, and now they know there is Jesus Christ, right? He says, haven't they heard? Of course they did. And then he asks, did they understand? He says, I'll make you envious by those who are not a nation. I'll make you angry by a nation that has no understanding. In Deuteronomy 32, that text is a text of judgment on Israel. When you go into your land and you disobey me, this is what's going to happen. This is a judgment. He says, you're not going to get the gospel, but others are. Paul's quoting this to try to define what's going on as he goes from town to town and the Jews are rejecting the gospel. He says, again, I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who do not ask for me. Talk about the Gentiles coming in. And then verse 21, all day long I held my hand out to a disobedient and obstinate people. The idea of Isaiah 65 was the people of Israel are idolaters. And God said, I held my hand out all day long. All Paul is trying to do is through Scripture define why the gospel is having a hard time among the Jews. And he quotes all these texts throughout to explain it. You know, we stand in a context that is sometimes equally as challenging. Sometimes people hear and they reject the idea of the Messiah. They reject the idea of the gospel. Some want to, you know, have a God that serves them rather than them wanting to serve God. Some prefer fleshly passions, pleasure, over spiritual power and righteousness. Some stubbornly claim they don't need God, that they've got everything in their life and in their world under control, and they're good enough because they take care of their family, they work hard, blah, blah, blah. Some hold on to anger rather than holding on to God. Some prefer therapy to worship. There are a lot of reasons why people don't hear the gospel. There are a lot of reasons why people don't call on the name of the Lord. There's a lot of reasons why, you know, people will hear the message and walk out unchanged, because so many different ideas and so many different things compete for their heart. But you know, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one whom they have not heard? Just because it's hard, and just because it's challenging, and just because we know that we're in a context where a lot of people aren't going to get it, they're not going to take Christ into their heart and into the, just because there's a lot of rejection out there of the gospel and the truth and the morality that comes from Jesus Christ, it gives us no excuse, right? We still need to stand in places. We still need to proclaim the truth. We still need to make sure that the name of Jesus is known. What's happening in too many places is they're trying to hide it because it's too offensive to the culture. The culture needs to be offended. The culture needs to hear. If they don't hear the truth, they'll never get it right. If they don't hear who Jesus is, they'll never be able to believe. If they don't hear what God has called them to, they'll never be able to call on Him. They have to hear it. They have to hear it. And if it means that, you know, you're standing alone one day, screaming out to the darkness, you can't change the message. You can't change the message, because it's the only message. You know, Paul started Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. That's what he's talking about here, in effect. The context that he was going to, the Jewish people, very hard. Not listening. A lot of reasons why. But he wouldn't stop going. He wouldn't stop talking. He went on and on from town to town, city to city, wherever he could, and proclaimed the truth about Jesus Christ. Let us be so bold. Let us be so stubborn. Let us be so narrow-minded that we can go ahead and talk to people who are hard of hearing. That we will share the gospel with people that just don't want to get it. That's all right. We're going to still hold out the word of life, the truth of God for them. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.